Welcome to this January 2014 edition of Cape Light Compact's Focus on Energy, a program designed to bring you timely information on energy topics, particularly those of interest to Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard. I'm your host, Matt Dudley. Today, we focus on something that brightens up all of our lives at one point or another, streetlights. More specifically, we're going to be talking about how the Cape Light Compact plans to use LED technology to turn those beacons of light that line the streets of Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard into energy and money savings machines. I'm joined by Kevin Galligan, an energy efficiency program manager with Cape Light Compact who's spearheading the initiative, and Clint Schuckel, a senior project engineer with Siemens, who was awarded the contract to perform the conversion. Kevin, Clint, welcome.
Thanks, good to be here.
Thank you.
So we have this exciting initiative from the Cape Light Compact, Kevin, that you've come out of retirement to help us out with, our municipal LED streetlight project. Tell us a little bit about it. How did the CLC decide to target streetlights?
Well, as you know, through the Compact's Energy Efficiency Program, we're always striving to find as many energy-saving opportunities as possible. And years ago, advances were occurring in lighting, you know, compact fluorescent bulbs and all these that people know about. But the light-emitting diodes, the LEDs, years ago were very expensive. They're good energy-saving technology, but frankly, years ago, were not quite ready for prime time in terms of commercial application, particularly roadway light. But in, frankly, just the last 3 years, we've seen other communities adopt them in terms of the roadway, particularly in Massachusetts and across the nation. And the Compact did some screening, did some evaluation, and put together within the three-year plan that the Energy Efficiency Program is operating under, the conversion of all of the town or municipal-owned streetlights to LED, bringing tremendous savings for the long term. So it's pretty exciting.
So the technology that we have right now, I would say in most places on the side of the road, is, would you consider it inefficient as compared to LEDs? How do savings come from the switch between, you know, I guess what's in there now? Is it a high pressure sodium or something like that over to LEDs?
Right. That's what the, as people call them, the orange glow that you see up in the sky. And they do put out a lot of, you know, illumination as a bubble essentially throughout the whole environment, which the LEDs will not. They're full cutoff or dark sky compliant. But the high pressure sodiums use anywhere, the ones that we have in terms of the distribution across the Cape are anywhere from 70 watts, 100 watts. We've got a few 400 watters, and even in some towns, some major intersection have a 1,000 watt high pressure sodium bulb. We're converting those to the tune of as much as 60% energy reduction by going to an LED. And as we always remind folks, even people in their homes, when you switch from an incandescent to a CFL, you may be, you know, paying a couple bucks more, but because the fixture itself lasts for so long, you're really getting operating benefits for the long term. And that's true with the LEDs, because the operating life of these light emitting diode streetlights is going to be, you know, upwards of, you know, Clint, 50 to 60,000 hours. I mean, they haven't operated long enough to really, you know,
test it long enough right, to see how long they last.
But the long life of these is going to be phenomenal. And I think the performance of them, you know, the characteristics of the light, the quality, is really going to be a big, big bonus.
So let's take a step back. The Cape Light Compact is targeting to replace streetlights and municipally owned, as you mentioned. A little bit real high level about the project. What's the Cape Light Compact doing? How are we working with the towns? Kind of what's the whole idea behind it? Where did this come from?
Well, it actually started before the energy efficiency plan approval for the full conversion that I just mentioned. What we also wanted to do was be sensitive to the fact that this is new technology. We wanted to advance it in a way that was able to demonstrate, you know, to everybody that this could be acceptable technology. It's new, it's a change, and all of us sometimes embrace change at times, but I'll be honest with you, as far as lighting, it's very personal, and people can be very sensitive to a change of light, whether it be in your living room or out on the roadways and byways. So we did a demonstration project.
So this is something that we read about in the newspaper quite a bit, especially here in this, in the town where this radio show is being broadcast from, Provincetown. You had a lot of feedback, a lot of good feedback from citizens, right? And you worked with them to figure out what worked best for them?
We did, and we really appreciate that, because the questions that came up from the community, as we know, it's more of a pedestrian-oriented community, pointed out, you know, the situation where, you know, you may have a highway type application where, you know, some of the stock streetlights that are out there could easily be done. But when you've got a narrow roadway situation where you've got people more sensitive to the night, you know, sky and illumination concerns, they wanted to give us that feedback, and we responded to it by putting some additional sample fixtures up that tested the different characteristics of the light. Not just how much it lights, but the quality of light in terms of its color, the way the fixture can actually, what's called, cut off the light. In other words, so you've got a shield that prevents the light from even, you know, advancing on the sidewalk or the business or the home. So we've tested those out and learned a lot, and that's frankly what the special terms and conditions that some communities, including Provincetown, are going to have us work to respond to. We want everybody to be happy with this project.
So these LEDs aren't a one size fits all, and I think you guys have put a lot of work into making sure that everybody gets what they need.
That's, yeah, in fact, great. You might want to bring up in a little bit how we chose the fixtures that we did for the ultimate conversion. But one of the criteria that we used was, in fact, the adjustability. You know, you can buy a bulb if it's a 60 watt or whatever. You put it in, you're going to get what you buy. Mm-hmm. Where these fixtures, actually, we put them up, they actually do have some limited adjustment capabilities even after they're installed. So once they're installed, we want to give communities a chance to see how they like them. And within 60 days of the installation, we'll come back and we'll make adjustments to change the light levels to, you know, respond to people's reactions.
So even after they're installed, you go back and fine-tune it. So
absolutely.
It's still good. So if we go back to the scale of the project, and, you know, we've heard a lot about towns who have provided feedback. We've seen it in the newspaper. We've heard it on the radio. How many towns on the Cape and Vineyard have actually opted to participate in this program?
Well, we have over 22 municipal participants, and that's everything from the fire districts to the towns, and that includes communities on Martha's Vineyard.
Right.
And there are some communities that are still in the process of acquiring their streetlights from NSTAR, so we're helping them do that. Most recently, December 1st, Chilmark purchased their 21 lights from NSTAR. So the towns, the bulk of them, went through this purchase process facilitated by the Cape Light Compact back in 2001. But there are a few that we're getting through that process to purchase. And once they own them, then they can actually decide what they want to do with them in terms of changing them out, maintenance, all to the tune of saving energy and putting a little bit more control in the hands of the towns that want to decide what they want to do with street lighting.
Also keeping a little bit more money in their pockets.
Absolutely.
Hopefully it gets passed down to those taxpayers.
It's a help. This is a big help.
Yeah. So how many streetlights are on the Cape? And we were just talking about some financial benefits. How much, you know, are we expecting to save?
Well, we estimated the project in the first round of the filing to be in the neighborhood of $14,500. But since those additional communities that I mentioned, like Chilmark, we're working with a few others to see that they purchase them, we may be upwards of 16,500 streetlights after the full count and conversion is done. So it's a very significant project.
It is a lot of streetlights. So what, you know, what's the project cost, you know, from the Cape Light Compact and its benefits?
The cost we're estimating to be in the neighborhood of $6 million. And again, as I mentioned, the benefits of this is what justifies that investment that we're making through the energy efficiency program, because the energy savings, you're looking at over 60% reduction of energy through the energy efficiency program. We also can factor in the maintenance benefit. The longer life of the fixtures provide more benefits to the system, if you will, in terms of the electric grid by using less energy and being sure that that's verifiable for the 10, 12, 15 years these might be out there. So the payback is significant, and it's what justifies the investment that all of us as ratepayers are making to improve the lighting in our communities.
Right. So the initial upfront cost is far exceeded by the energy benefits. And you were saying operations. I'd heard the compact administrator Maggie Downey say recently that, you know, through this project, the towns are actually going to acquire a piece of equipment that appreciates instead of depreciates over time, because
exactly,
it's actually paying them back over what they would have been.
It's true. It's a really good analogy. But just to kind of mention the $6 million of the investment, that's going to accrue, you know, roughly in the order of just utility bill savings in excess of $600,000 a year, and then additional the maintenance savings to the tune of in excess of $200,000 per year. Those are annual savings.
So we're talking $800,000 for for this peninsula and that little island that sits below us there.
Every single year.
And the life of these bulbs is expected to be...
We're conservatively assuming 10 years, but the testing that's been done to project shows that these could live for 12, maybe even 15 years.
Wow. So we're in the tens of millions of dollars if that happens.
We're in good shape.
In savings. So
that's one thing I think I'd add to that is the Cape Light Compact purchased a 10-year product warranty on these lights to protect their investment and the investment of each community. So these products are, these LED lights are have a warranty for 10 years. So
it's at least if they do at least
fail
10 years that
up to 10 years, the replacement is paid for at no cost.
Wow. So, yeah, there you get 10 years at that $800,000. Right. And just imagine rates go up and all that stuff, too. That's great stuff. So
I can mention, too, one thing about the warranty that, again, by us waiting a little bit of time to see what the market's done, what other communities have done, the warranty on LEDs, if you look at what LA did and others years ago, has advanced from 5 years to 7, to now we see manufacturers comfortable backing a 10-year warranty. So by waiting a little bit of time allowed us to put that insurance policy in place for the long term.
Manufacturers are getting more confident in their product.
Exactly.
That's a good selling point for them. So Clint, you're here. You have been selected as, your company has been selected as the contractor for this. Kevin, go through a little bit of, what you're looking for when you're looking for a vendor and kind of what the scope of what Siemens was selected to do is.
We went through a very rigorous review process. Again, as a public entity, we used a public procurement process. We were assisted greatly by the State Department of Energy Resources, DOER, actually provides some model procurement documents that we utilized, and it really helped us hone in on the contract type that we've entered into with Siemens is a guaranteed energy performance contract, meaning once the fixtures are installed, there are numbers that Clint puts together that says these are what the savings are that are going to generate, and the contractor actually guarantees that performance for the 10 years for us. So that's the contract approach we went through. It did put the onus on us to specify all of what we were asking for, which took us quite a bit of time over the course of the summer. We had some very good interest in terms of potential bidders. We qualified 4 firms to be able to do this project, and we ultimately selected Siemens to do it as the best responsive proposer based upon their skills and expertise. So we're really happy to have them on board. But also, the market out there for this is nationwide, and all those other firms that, bid, they're very capable, and good luck to them too, because there's a lot of work out there for them.
Yeah, this is definitely an emerging trend,
I would say,
especially in municipalities where, cities like New York have recently decided to do it as well, and other cities and towns in Massachusetts, I understand, have decided to do this as well?
Quite a bit. The reference that we used in terms of checking out the selection we did of Siemens and others was to look at what's been done in Fairhaven and Chelsea, Newton, and most recently Dartmouth has gone through a conversion to LEDs, and too dissimilar to a few of the communities on the Cape, where you've got some highway type roadways, but a lot of rural farm locations that give you a good example of the lights that will be putting up, because we actually have selected the same light fixture type that Dartmouth installed. So
you're able to take a look at what they installed and get a good idea. So Siemens was selected. So you guys, you've been asked to do the installation and the guaranteed performance, and that includes maintenance over a certain period of time too, right? So the towns don't need to worry about sending their guys up a ladder to replace these if they need to.
It does, and actually that is where our relationship with the Cape Light Compact and its communities began. We've been a maintenance contractor on the streetlights for a number of years now. We helped a number of communities years ago when they bought their lights to convert at the time to the most advanced technology, which is high pressure sodium.
That was available then.
Here we are 10 years later with something new and improved, and fortunately the Cape Light Compact has taken advantage, because as you've heard, there were significant savings on behalf of the communities. And my job as the design engineer is primarily to try to balance the three important things, which is energy savings, appropriate lighting levels, which is sometimes subjective in terms of how people feel from a public safety perspective and how much light you need in a given area. And the last thing is aesthetics. And, you know, we're working with each of the communities and their individual preferences. And often that comes into exactly what is the light color that we're, these streetlights are putting out.
That fine-tune adjustment that we were talking about a little bit earlier.
That as well, because there's been a move after over the last couple of years going from very bluish light to now a very much a white light. But in some cases, people are still feeling that's not quite warm enough for their preferences. But a white light is a moonlight type color, and that is the vast majority of what we'll be installing. And really, that's where the most efficient kind of level of lighting is right now. And hopefully, the vast majority of residents on the Cape will think moonlight looks just fine.
Yeah, and all the towns have got some demonstration projects out there too. So if you want to take a look and see what these actually look like. I imagine, are the locations posted on the Compact's website?
They are.
They can go check them out?
If you go to capelightcompact.org/LED streetlights, just zoom through that page, you'll see a list of the demonstration fixture installation locations. And each town got anywhere between 8 to 10 fixtures that are being tested, and they'll still remain in place once we do the full conversion, because they're perfectly fine fixtures. They'll be covered under the warranty and maintenance going forward.
Great. You're listening to Cape Light Compact's Focus on Energy. Our guests today are Kevin Galligan, an Energy Efficiency Program Manager with the Cape Light Compact, and Clint Schuckel, a Senior Project Engineer with Siemens. We're here talking about the Cape Light Compact's LED Streetlight Initiative. So, Kevin, Clint, when we were going through this project, I say we because I work for the Cape Light Compact as well, so we go back to this. Why were we looking at LEDs? We talked a little bit about, you know, the efficiencies, you know, the increased life. You know, are there other technologies? You know, in our house, I have an option between LEDs or CFLs. Do CFLs work in streetlights?
Believe it or not, they do. Yeah. Now, the question is, are they effective in terms of the light that you might want on a roadway?
Right.
You know, similar to what I mentioned on the orange glow from a high-pressure sodium, you know, you pretty much have that glow that hangs off the end of a post. Similar with the CFL. It is not as directional. And that's the key term with LEDs, is if you look at those points of light that you see out of an LED, you know, flashlight, or, you know, you've got a little LED, you know, that you see probably on the back of, you know, trucks now, you know, in terms of red taillights.
Yep.
You know, all those points of light are actually directional. And when the fixtures are made through the, you know, manufacturer process, they're actually directing that light down to the roadway, which is frankly where you want street lights
to
illuminate.
Right. You can change it around where you were saying the old ones, they did a lot more of illuminating the sky than they did of illuminating the ground.
Yeah. And so like you said, you could see a CFL, and actually the community of Falmouth was very gung-ho to, you know, grab as many energy saving opportunities thanks to the Energy Committee and others. So they actually did convert, I believe it was 4 years ago, some incandescent street lights. What were those called, Clint? The type of fixture,
Admiral hats.
It's Admiral hats. Yeah. They're little, you know, aluminum reflectors that you see, very old style looking, but some of us still remember them, and they're still out there. So those actually were big incandescent bulbs that were able to bring savings, and we provided a rebate for switching them over to CFLs. But no, now those will be switched to LEDs because of the better lighting characteristics, even going from the CFL as a bulk switch over in like the town of Falmouth, for example, mm-hmm. to LEDs makes a lot of sense. More consistent fixture type for maintenance, easier to know what you've got out there. But you're right, there are other, you know, technologies. We actually did, before even putting this bid together, look at induction lighting. But when you look at the manufacturing support for it, when you look at the direction of the industry, induction is really doesn't have the longest life associated with it. It does have some higher maintenance cost on replacement associated with it. But again, some folks might say they want to stay with high pressure sodium. And frankly, that's okay too. We'll still have some communities that still have high pressure sodium. And frankly, there'll be private lights out there that still have them.
So if you mentioned private lights, so say I have a street light, have a commercial space, I guess, street light, have a private road with a street light on it. It's not owned by the town. Can I still replace it with LED, and how can the Cape Light Compact help out with that? Or
always, anytime a customer, whether it be lighting or heating or whatever. If you have an inkling to want to find out how to be more energy efficient, just call the 800 number. Ideally, if you've got your electric bill, say that light is on a pole that you know it's on a meter off of your house or your business, have your electric bill handy. Call the 800 number, 800-797-6699. Basically say you want to see if the street light or the private light you've got could be eligible for an incentive to be switched over. I typically will send an auditor out to investigate what you've got, to look at the situation. And in most cases, you're actually going to see some recommendations that actually will improve the situation. It's always nice to save energy, but it's also nice to be more comfortable and safer in terms of the lighting that can be done. But there really are some great advances in lighting, thanks to LEDs, and you know, there could be other types that are available for private folks, but
and those advances are happening pretty rapidly too. You know, where were LEDs 2 or 3 years ago with respect to cost and efficiencies? What are the differences now from that?
Yeah, I think the other thing with LEDs, and Clint might want to chime in, is by going from a high pressure sodium, which is a strike type light, you know, it has to warm up, it has to begin to glow, and then it can fail. These are solid state. Just like your computer, just like, you know, your cell phone. And it gives the opportunity for doing a lot more in lighting. I don't know if Clint might want to talk about some of those options that could be considered down the road.
Sure. Well, I think one of the other things with an LED light is that it's not typically going to go out all at once. You're going to have the individual LEDs fail over time so that it won't just be your light is completely on one night and off the next, and you have to make the phone call to have the light replaced. That's going to more likely fail one LED at a time, get dimmer over time, and not just leave you in the dark all of a sudden.
That's a good point. If you go to those streetlight demonstrations that are in your town, you'll see it's like an array of a bunch of lights, and those are all individual.
Exactly.
Like you're saying, they can be controlled individually, and if one starts to go, you'll notice, kind of like with your Christmas tree lights or things like that.
And as Kevin alluded to, the idea of dimming a street light, LEDs give you that option where you can't dim a sodium light or a compact fluorescent light now. And some communities across the U.S. are looking at that as an option to save energy, to possibly have a higher lighting level earlier in the evening and then dim down a little bit. There's some research studies going on in terms of what level of dimming do people start to notice and maybe get a little concerned in terms of public safety that now their street is too dark. It's great you're trying to save energy, but you're always walking that fine line between making people feel unsafe and trying to save energy. So there is some research in that regard right now, and the technology gives you the ability to do the dimming during appropriate hours and at appropriate levels.
Right.
And I think over time communities will probably pursue that and determine for their town what's the right level and the right hours to go to.
So in the future, this is something that could be, I guess, an add-on to the fixtures that are being installed now. So, or is it? Or
it
I
is.
Guess
that was actually one of the criteria. You know, I talked about the time we went through in terms of the specs that we put together.
Yep.
The fixtures we selected are capable of this advanced control capability. Just by simply making an add-on change to the fixture, you can actually cause it to be dimmable, can actually be addressed as if it's a wireless network. So somebody sitting, you know, say a town manager or DPW guy wants to, you know, pretty much be able to see and know the status of all his lights. By adding on these advanced control capabilities, you'll actually be able to check the health and status and even control your lights remotely.
Wow.
So it's not something we're building on the lights we're installing through the conversion, but they will actually have that capability.
It's another one of those technologies, I guess, that are ever improving that maybe down the road we're going to say, yeah, this is a cost-effective improvement as well, and install that. LED technology is pretty amazing. In this application especially, you're also seeing a lot of changes in residential and then light commercial as well. So it's definitely something to keep your eyes on if you're interested in lights and interested in energy efficiency. So we go back to the manufacturer of these LED fixtures that we're installing. How was the manufacturer selected? I know that we had a list of criteria that Kevin had alluded to earlier. Is there one specific manufacturer that we're using for everything, or you know, how was that selected?
Well, like we mentioned and you pointed to, the specs were actually just that. They were not manufacturer specific specs. They pretty much called out, you know, the standards we expected, both electrical safety, the energy efficiency qualified product list, things like that. But then it was up to the proposers to tell us how they proposed to, you know, respond to our needs in terms of different solutions that we saw, the sensitivities, the feedback from the communities. So Siemens actually worked with us in terms of providing two different manufacturer product types, and we worked with them to finalize the award and selection of one fixture. And I'll let Clint go through the fixture type that we chose.
The Cape Light Compact chose the Beta Cree manufacturer of LED streetlights, and it's also the same firm that they used for their pilot project. They had installed about 150 or so streetlights in 2012, again, to get the communities comfortable with the look and feel of the lights. And our business model as the energy efficiency contractor is to give our customers some trade-offs in terms of this fixture might cost you a little more, but it's also going to save you a little more over the 10 years, to try to give some options to our customer, whether it's a city or town or an energy efficiency organization like Cape Light Compact. So it's one reason that communities and energy efficiency organizations are using this performance contract type of work, is so that they don't necessarily have to buy the cheapest LED fixture out there, which might not be the most efficient and might cost them more over the 5 or 10 year period or much longer, as the lights are expected to live. So this idea of what's the most cost-effective choice, I think this method of contracting allowed the Compact to make that decision.
It's a good thing
not
to
just
note.
On a price, not just on initial
right,
price.
That right. The Cape Light Compact's not out here going for low bid for the
yes,
installation
exactly.
Because you may lose quality and you may lose energy savings, I guess it is.
And there are a lot of features that we also wanted to strive for in terms of the ability to shield the fixtures for those communities that want to control that backlight, as well as the adjustment capability that these bring available to us that others did not.
So how long will the project take? We're in the demonstration phase. It's gone through. We're going to start early 2014. Have you started? How long is it going
to
take?
First two communities to actually see installations will actually be Hyannis Fire District and the town of Yarmouth. So they'll be first out of the gate. Those fixtures are ordered, and Siemens is gearing up to go through the staging areas. There'll be lots of job opportunities for union-based electricians to come on board. So if anybody has some downtime in the winter, call Siemens and they'll be happy to get you to work.
Great. So yeah, there's going to be a lot of work here on the Cape. And how long is the entire project going to take?
The bulk of it we expect will be completed by June of 2014. If there's some carryover, we've provided for that to go into after Labor Day. No work during the summer. So we'll be doing kind of fine-tuning and follow-up from September to December. But all of the full project will be wrapped up by December of 2014.
So 1 year. 12 or 14,000
lights.
Lights being installed, and you can actually go on the Cape Light Compact's website and see one of these bulbs installed, right? If you're interested in looking at it, seeing what it looks like and what it takes to install one. I think we've got a pretty charismatic individual installing one on the website video there. So, take a look if you're interested. Guys, we're running up against the clock. You guys are terrific. Thanks for coming in to talk with us. LEDs and this project is especially, I think, could warrant a much longer discussion. But if anyone's interested in finding out more information, they can visit the Cape Light Compact's website or give us a call at 1-800-797-6699. We can put you in touch with Kevin or Clint if need be, try to get some answers for you or let you know more. Guys, thanks for joining us. We have Kevin Galligan with the Cape Light Compact. Thank you so much for joining us, Kevin.
It was fun. Thank you.
And Clint Chuckle, thank you so much for coming down here to join us today. And
thank you.
Thanks for helping us get this project done.
Enjoyed it.
This has been Cape Light Compact's Focus on Energy. I'm Matt Dudley. If you have any questions or have any topics that you'd like us to discuss in the future, give us a call at 1-800-797-6699 or shoot me an email at focus@capelightcompact.org. You can also visit our website for more information at www.capelightcompact.org. A big thanks goes out to WOMR's Maddie Dredd for his help in getting this out to you. Join us next month, same time, same place, 92.1 WOMR-FM Provincetown, 91.3 WFRM-FM Orleans, and streaming live at WOMR.org. where you can also listen to past episodes of Focus on Energy.